Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the relationship between addiction and social connections, the importance of social connections as it relates to, you know, sort of a prevention or a way to decrease risk for substance abuse.
Right, right. We're always searching for explanations for why people become addicted.
Right.
And one of them is, of course, the absence or a shortage of social connections, not feeling connected to anybody else.
Right. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to talk about another aspect of addiction, and that is addiction as it relates to just some general deprivation.
Right. Interesting perspective here, and one I hadn't thought about before. She links addiction to deprivation, a deprived need that you're trying to satisfy. Makes sense intuitively. Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned earlier, the reason we frequently talk about addiction, I didn't realize this, 91% of addicts relapse.
Right.
So it's
incredibly high.
So the treatment programs we have, though good, don't explain why 9 out of 10, more than 9 out of 10 addicts will relapse. And those figures remain fairly high.
Right.
I think at the end of treatment, I mean, even after you've relapsed a couple of times, about 50% of people remain substance-free after treatment. You and I both know many individuals who have gone into treatment two or three or four times, and they have to keep recycling through treatment to stay sober.
Right.
So it's and all of us are hearing about the opioid addiction and the high body count.
Right.
Because of that, so it remains an unsettled question.
Right.
And I think any information we get that informs us about why addictions occur that might lead to more effective interventions is worth talking about. And
Absolutely.
I think this is a good one.
Yeah. We put a link in the show notes. It's from Psychology Today. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the reasons I really like this article and the whole idea of addiction as a function of deprivation is because, you know, we've talked before that most people who, my argument would be every person who has an addiction problem has some underlying mental health challenge, mental health concern, if not mental illness.
And I think that's been one of the great advances. You know, for so long we saw addiction, substance abuse, as a moral problem.
Right.
You know, you have a moral weakness. You know, you just don't have the strength. One of the great advances was, no, you're meeting some need.
Right.
There's something else going on that the whatever substance it is satisfying.
Right.
Okay, and that I think was a great step forward.
Right, and so we have sort of that. We have the obvious examples of, you know, sort of the tendency to use alcohol, for example, in people who are highly anxious. Well, it makes sense. A lot of the medications that we use for anxiety are very closely related to alcohol in the way that they function and behave in our brain. But one of the arguments people make in contrast to my perspective is they'll say, well, what about those people who just use for fun or just use socially? And we'll talk to people who say, well, you know, I just use because it lets me relax and I can be more social with my friends and things like that. Well, this idea of addiction as a function of deprivation kind of fits and helps address some of those.
Right.
And it articulates it in a way that I had not articulated it before.
Right.
Because it says, you know, if you need a substance to relax, if you need a substance to be able to socialize and to engage with your peers, then there's some form of deprivation. Either it's a social skills deficit or it's a confidence deficit or there's some kind of deficit or deprivation there that you're that the substance is filling.
Social anxiety.
Yeah.
People have social anxiety, have to take a couple of drinks before they go to the event.
Right.
And then they drink at the event. Mm-hmm. Teenagers love substances that make them feel a little more relaxed in social situations because typically many teenagers are insecure.
Right.
And so alcohol or other drugs, particularly marijuana, help.
Right. And how many times have you heard people saying, well, I use just so that I can kind of keep my energy up and so that I can, you know, keep going through the you know, event throughout the night and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, so maybe there's some sleep deprivation or there's some other issues that's causing you to have problems with your energy levels. Right.
And the other thing I like about this, we mentioned this in a podcast some months ago, is that most people who use drugs don't get addicted.
Right.
And we saw that during the Vietnam War where soldiers were actually doing heroin and marijuana and all sorts of drugs. They came back to the United States and they stopped using. Even after a year of use, tour of duty was a year, 6, 8, 10, 12 months of heroin use, came back to the United States, never used again.
Right.
Were they a need for security, a need to numb themselves? You know, what need existed in Vietnam in a war, any war zone, that didn't exist here?
Right.
So the drug was supplying whatever was missing. So that's the other thing I like about this is that it addresses that issue of why did you use so much then and not now?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So it's, I would really encourage you to check out this article because it she goes into, I think it's a female.
It is.
She goes into a lot of detail about this, and she has some nice little quotes in there about it.
At the end of this, she just feels like a lovely person. I don't know her. I don't know about her. She's a psychotherapist, and that's typically things that we don't. We don't read that literature that much, okay? And she has these wonderful, wonderful phrases at the end. And one of the things that she says is giving yourself pleasure, giving yourself permission to take pleasure and to take your place in the world. I think that's a nice way of putting it. You are demonstrating dignity, and she has a wonderful line here. And then at the end of the article, she says, and I love this, and I think it words to live by, certainly as a parent or a partner, it is, we do not flourish via punishment or discipline. You can't criticize yourself to your best self.
Right.
You know? And I think what she's saying here at the end of this is, be gentle with yourself.
Right.
You know, there's some need here that you need to know about, you need to get to. And it's not going to help by punishing yourself or punishing others.
Right.
Okay. That's not the path to your best self is being good to yourself.
Yeah.
So I like the end of this. So if you don't read it for any other reason, if most of us struggle with addictions or we have friends and family members who are struggling with addictions, it's good for that. But there's some good how to live a better life stuff when you get to the end of the article that I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So enjoy.
Yeah. So if you have, if you find yourself using anything.
Right.
Or if you have a feeling of deprivation of any kind.
If you have that gnawing.
Address that issue.
That's right. And it's why, I think it's why teenagers are so susceptible. Because teenagers typically have insecurities and they have unmet needs. And drugs and alcohol and other addictive behaviors, doesn't have to be substances, satisfy those needs that many teenagers feel.
Absolutely.
You don't feel them when you're happily married and love your children and love your family. You don't need to do anything because life brings you all the joy that you need. But adolescence is a difficult transitional time.
Absolutely. So, all right.
Take a look at this.
Definitely. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.